Welcome to the Love Witch podcast, where we have conversations on sexuality, spirituality, and more. My name is Gwen Walsh, and I'm a sex educator, a tarot reader, a sexuality and spirituality consultant, and your host. Let's get started. All right. Hello, everyone. So we are back after months on the podcast. It has been very busy past several months between graduating from my master's program, preparing for the next step in my academic and career journey, and all that that has involved. But I wanted to come back for our witch's favorite month, October, and tell the story of how I became a witch. So if you have been here before, welcome back to the chaos. If you are new here and not familiar with how we do things, so I am a simple, mostly tech illiterate grad student. And that means that I don't edit this. I don't have time. I don't really have the desire to go find someone to edit it for me. So we are basically just doing a conversational style. I will probably trip over my words at some point, and that's okay, you know? And especially with this story, this is essentially not my entire life, but kind of trying to fit my entire life into one podcast episode. So I will definitely have things that I forget to mention that I kick myself for later, or things that I don't say quite right. And that's kind of part and parcel of this big aspect of my life that's really important, to a lot of other people and their own individual lives. And so hopefully the purpose of me sharing this is kind of to hopefully help others to feel validated in their own journeys and appreciate the multidimensional, imperfect, messy, mistakes-filled, and also very rewarding journey of spirituality in general. Of course, I do not know all spiritual paths. I am only an expert in my own. But hopefully, regardless of your spiritual path, whether you are a witch, whether you are pagan, Christian, anything else, hopefully aspects of this at least will resonate for you. So that is my little disclaimer on this being a very imperfect podcast episode, because I'm talking about myself, an imperfect human being. But I hope that it will be helpful for you, whether you are a self-described baby witch in the very beginnings of your journey, or whether you've been doing this for a while as well, and you're kind of reflecting on where you're at in your spiritual path. I hope that my journey can be helpful for you in that, because I think that an integral part of spirituality is learning from others. So all of these are, again, my own opinions. I do think that I have, well, I do have 10 years of experience, and that's kind of why I'm talking about this now, because it is my 10-year anniversary of becoming a witch. And obviously, I'm just one person doing this in an area of spirituality where there really are no rules or regulations or whatever, but there's a lot of deeply held beliefs. Some people believe that you're either born a witch or you are not a witch ever. Some people believe you can come to it on your own. Some people believe it's a deeply rooted ancestral mantle that you take on. And some people believe that it's a label that you can pop in and out of like a sweater. I believe that it can be either. But I ultimately believe it's both a deeply personal thing and also a responsibility. We don't exist in a vacuum, and our spiritualities don't exist in a vacuum. And I think that it's important to recognize equally that our spirituality is personal to each of us, And also the values and morals and practices that we uphold within our spirituality do impact the people around us in the wider world. So I think it's important to recognize that as well. Another tiny note, I think I'm either allergy season is finally catching up with me or I'm getting a bit of a cold. So my voice is probably not going to be the best, but as my fellow academics know, if I don't do it now, I will never do it. So I am doing it now. So let's begin with my story. All right. So, as all good witch stories begin, I was a Catholic schoolgirl. But for real, I went to Catholic school in middle school. I wore the knee socks and the cross ties and everything. And my experience there is a whole other story that would take a whole other episode to thoroughly explain. I think I may have mentioned my Oreos and milk sex ed lesson by the priest in another episode with another sex educator. I'll comb through my archives and see if I can find that one. But if I don't, that'll be something for a future episode. But anyway, Catholic school was very, I was the valedictorian of my Catholic school class. It was a very small class, so like, don't go thinking too highly of me. But I was, and essentially that meant that I was very good at internalizing all of the beliefs and doctrine of Catholicism, the good, the bad, and the not very useful. So I was always a fairly spiritual person. I always really liked the idea of a divinity, like something looking out for me. I was always raised, obviously, Catholic, with the idea that my grandmother Gwendolyn, who I'm named after, was my guardian angel and she looked out for me. And I always really appreciated that feeling of protection and guidance and kind of connection and unity that I felt with spirituality and religion. Catholic school was not at all an entirely bad experience, but there were definitely aspects that, even as a middle schooler, that was not, I was not like an anti-authoritarian, rebellious youngster by any means. I kind of just went along with things. But I noticed even in middle school, like reading the catechisms and things like that, there would be moments where I was like, okay, these are the only questions that I'm allowed to ask about Catholicism. And these one paragraph answers are the only answers that I can accept. And I cannot ask any further questions and I cannot seek any further answers. That doesn't sound right. And maybe some of you will feel similarly with experiences you've had in your religious or spiritual upbringing, if you had one. So I excelled in Catholicism, despite noticing those things. But when I got to college, I went through, like, as many college students do, the typical freshman year existential crisis. Who am I? I don't have anything to wear because I don't know how I want to express myself, all of that. And part of that was kind of a spiritual reevaluation. I didn't like the idea of a punitive kind of man in the sky above me, like telling me that I was wrong or bad, for feeling a certain way, for like engaging my sexuality, whatever. It just did not feel like I wanted a spirituality and a divinity that I felt resonated with me, that I could see myself in, if you will. I didn't need to go as far as Levayan Satanism and worship myself as if I were a deity. Not really my thing. But I just wanted a divinity that I felt I could relate to and connect with more. And so I had a job on campus as like the student union receptionist. So I was the first face you would see if you walked onto the UMaine Orono campus would be my shining smile at you. And I had a lot of time in between guests to kind of just do homework or, in my case, also do research. And so I was researching a bunch of different spiritualities, looking into like, I don't even know, like the typical like 2010s articles that you would find about all of these various more earth-based spiritualities. And I cobbled together some understanding of paganism generally. And I remember I found this like meditation. It was just like a suggestion for like a meditation, like a walking meditation ritual. And I was like, oh, this sounds really nice. Like, I want to try this. It was some sort of like a walking Samhain meditation to connect with your ancestors. Like, if you know, you know. The witches out there, you know. And so, Samhain of 2014, which for those who aren't familiar is October 31, Halloween. Solar Samhain. I went to the woods behind campus because I went to a very rural campus. So we had a forest behind the campus. So I went to the woods at dusk, which 10 years later, I know probably not the best idea. But at the time, you know, it is what it is. So I went to the woods at dusk on Samhain and I just walked around and just like felt the earth beneath me, felt the air around me. I found a nice tree and like stood next to it and just meditated. Like, not at all a grand movie-esque witch experience. There was no like thunderbolts and shit. But it was so beautiful in its simplicity, and that I was really struggling just to feel like a sense of purpose and like to find myself as many adolescents do. And in that experience of just walking around in this like meditative state and feeling connected to like nature around me, I just felt so alive in a way that I hadn't previously. And I just felt this sense of passion and purpose that I had been missing, really. And that is when I really, like, again, not trying to make it sound all like grand and stuff, because it was a very simple private experience. And I just felt to myself, I was like, this is it. Like, I'm a witch. Like, this is amazing. And so, to kind of pan out a bit and talk a little bit more systemically about all of this stuff, for folks who are not familiar, there's a lot of like philosophical systemic frameworks that influence the way we think about religion, philosophy, psychology, all of that. And I will not rehash my entire semester-long history and systems class to you, but just for a brief explanation. So there is way back in BC, because I'm not good with years. So there was Plato, and there was another guy called Aristotle. And Plato, essentially, I am not a philosopher or a philosophy student. I'm working on it, but this is a very like philosophy for idiots crash course. So Plato basically is representative of asceticism or asceticism, however you pronounce it. And he believes essentially that everything is up here. And I know you can't see me like waving my hands around my head and the air above it, but that's what I'm referring to. Everything is in our mind, in the sky, in the above, the up there, not the down here in the physical world. And then Aristotle was more about hedonism, materialism, which is, the things that are here, like the table you can touch, the water bottle you can touch, the trees that you can touch, I'm in my bedroom right now, so like the bureau that I can see, those physical material things are like, that's where it's at. And so that's kind of the split between the two of them. Plato and his kind of school of thought is much more aligned with transcendence, which is Catholicism, essentially, or at least the school of thought behind Catholicism, which is the divine is up there. We can't see it. We can't directly interact with it. It's up there. And through things like prayer, we connect with the divine. And then immanence is more along the line of Aristotle, Thomas Aquinas, that idea that the divine is down here in nature. We can touch it, interact with it. And so the earthly pleasures like sexuality or going for a walk in nature or eating delicious food are good and wonderful. Whereas asceticism, the more Platonic school of thought, Catholicism, all of that is more like, not so much about those earthly pleasures, more about resisting the earthly pleasures, or at least they say so. And so that's kind of a basic understanding of like where these ideas diverge and where they come from. So if you're curious about more of that, I would definitely recommend looking more into Plato versus Aristotle and their ways of thinking, transcendence versus immanence, and the religions that kind of have sprouted from each of those schools of thought, and the values behind each of them, because we can see how things like sex negativity versus sex positivity, how and where those beliefs come from, why people believe those things, why people believe that something that's an abstraction is more valuable than something that's a physical thing, or people who believe the inverse. So, lest I spend the entire episode talking just about that, I just wanted to kind of outline that for you. So, before, all I really knew was religion and spirituality as transcendence. Like, God is up there, he's out there. I can't see him, I can't talk to him. Except for like praying. And paganism gave me more of a balance of that immanence, that feeling of spirituality and the divine is here on earth. I can connect with it through, the life and the vibes or the energy of the rocks and the trees and the birds and the wind and all of that, and myself as well. And for those of you who know, my spirituality today is a balance of Catholicism and paganism. And some people don't understand that. Some people don't agree with that. And that is perfectly okay. And we'll discuss that more later. But this moment 10 years ago is was kind of that first touch on a balance of the divine is right here within me and around me. And it's up there as well. So it just gave me more of a sense of connectedness with myself and with the world around me. And here we are now. So from there, after that time, Samhain of 2014, I began exploring with crystals. Of course, you could not be a 2010 spiritual girly if you did not. I began reading tarot for my classmates. I went to a school. My time at Orono was a mixed bag, but it was kind of tough making friends when a lot of the population was either into partying or football, and I was not really into either of those things. So the way that I made friends was, for the most part, I would, be in a class, I would be sitting next to someone, And if I felt that we connected, I would invite them over to my dorm room for a tarot reading. And that was really like a huge part of the way that I connected with people and made friends, because I wasn't out at the frat houses or whatever, the football games. So I got a lot of practice with tarot that way. I would do like little crystal grids for people and all of that. And I was also reading a lot of books. Obviously, like started with the basics, the classics, the Cunningham, the Buckland, all of that, which we will talk more about later. And I also remember the first like group pagan event that I went to was an Earth Day ritual, just like a connecting with the earth ritual for Earth Day. And it was just so simple and beautiful and peaceful. And I just loved it. Like, it just felt like, okay, like I'm giving myself the space to like connect with like the physical world around me and to connect with myself and like feeling more compassion and just more, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it was wonderful. So let's see. From there, so I left Orono after 2 years. And that actually is something that I did not put in my little notes. I don't know if I want to tell that story right now, but that's another part of it, is deciding what I want to tell and what I want to kind of keep sacred to myself. Not because I don't want to let anyone know or I'm gatekeeping or anything, but I think that part of spirituality is discerning what feels sacred to you and what you don't necessarily want to like have in a public sphere. And that's something that took me years to learn, because when I was young and excited about everything, I would share pretty much everything. And I don't think that that's bad, necessarily, but at this point, I feel I've developed more of a balance of what I want to share and what is in kind of the benefit of my community for me to share and educate people on, and what is more special for me to keep sacred and private to myself. But anyway, so through a spiritual experience, I transferred to the University of Southern Maine in Portland. And there I connected with my witch's circle at the time. And that was a wonderful experience. And I learned so much from people who were way older than me, who had been in the witchcraft community and in their spirituality for decades longer than I had. And it was amazing being able to learn from so many people who had so many different paths and so many different experiences. And that is something that I will talk about more later too, the importance of that. And I also had one of my most powerful spiritual experiences, which was I was living in Portland in the West End at the time, and it was like the new moon in Capricorn or something. I think it was like Lemmy Kilmister's first birthday since his passing. Like, I just remember Lemmy, for those who are Motorhead fans, somewhere around his birthday, I think. And it was snowing and it was just like totally silent outside. And I just felt compelled to go for a walk by myself outside. It was the afternoon, so it was like safe to go out by myself. And I just felt this desire to like connect with Saturn, like the deity, the planetary energy, whatever. And I went out and I just focused on like being with myself, like totally quiet, no distractions, just like being with myself and being fully comfortable with that silence and that stillness within myself and in the world around me at the time. And again, like no grand Nancy on a beach with the claps of thunder and lightning or anything, just this silent acceptance of myself, and just the present moment. And I know that that does not sound very glamorous or whatever, but honestly, like that is, I think, what witchcraft is about. Like, I've had the grand moments and rituals of like, a sword being held to my throat as I like claimed my devotion to a goddess and whatnot. And those are cool and great and wonderful too. But the really meaningful moments that stick with me that I can call to mind like instantly when somebody's like, oh, what was your favorite or most powerful witchcraft experience? It's those things, it's those little moments. So those first few years, yeah, like 2014 to 2017, I guess, were wonderful. And like being able to grow and learn so much was such a privilege. And there was also negative aspects of it. Like I didn't know how to protect myself psychically. And as I was like connecting with like the spiritual realm, I definitely had experiences that were not good. And moments where like I look back and I'm like, wow, I did not know anything about how to protect myself. And this is like the spiritual version of like living in New York City and leaving your door unlocked. Like it's just not a good idea. And I've learned from them from then, and I have taught people from then. And that is like one of the main things that I impart to my students now is like, make sure if you're going to be opening yourself up, make sure you know how to protect yourself too. Like I said, you know, we can open our doors when we want to, and we can lock them when we want to. And it's important to be able to do both, not because we don't trust other people or whatever, or we're scared, but because, you know, if you're home alone at night, it's a smart idea to lock your door. It just is. So anyway, it was the Samhain of 2018 that I started my blog, the Love Witch blog. So that's where that kind of came from. I think I made it. This was my first podcast episode was like why this whole Love Witch shtick. And so to rehash that very quickly, I also have a background in sex education, as you all probably know. And so that, like the sex and relationships and reproductive justice stuff, plus the witchcraft and tarot stuff, my first professional tarot reading job, which I think was 20 end of 2018 or beginning of 2019, the people there kind of dubbed me the Love Witch, and they would write that on the chalkboard outside because of the kind of interaction or the mix of my background in sexuality and relationships and in tarot and witchcraft. So the Love Witch blog was born sometime in like yeah, Samhain of 2018. And it was just a place for me to share my thoughts and the things that I had learned and my perspectives. I wrote like a little post on like the Lover's Tarot card, which I also I think that was my first class that I ever taught, my first like witchcraft type class. And oh, so much fun. And oh, just like all of these like little baby astrology stuff or like, you know, little things about like sex magic and stuff like that, herbal magic, all of that. And it was wonderful. Like it wasn't somewhere that I had to like perform or like keep up with anything. I just shared what I wanted to share. And that's pretty much what I've continued doing to this day, which is really nice. And that was the beginning of my business. So, like I said, I started teaching classes late 2018, started reading tarot professionally. And during the beginning of the COVID lockdown, which was, yeah, early 2020, I dove more into my business. I quit my office job in July or August 2021, and went full time into my business, had a sexuality and spirituality course, which is still up and running. And after doing that for a while, I kind of, and I don't mean to like talk all about my business to like take the focus away from my personal spiritual path. That's just kind of like an aspect of it that developed and has kind of led me to where I am now, because I was doing that full time for a while. And I noticed this pervasive pattern in the sort of online witchcraft or spirituality business world. And when I say this, I do not mean everyone by any means. This is just one side of this realm. From my perspective, again, because this is all just my personal opinion, there just seemed to be a lack of ethics, a lack of service, a lack of like recognizing one's limits and recognizing how spirituality is inextricably linked with mental health and how that is something that we need to be really careful about. And we cannot just say and do anything and expect it to not have an impact. And that kind of leads me to where I am now and the way that I think about things now. In my 10 years, in my 10 years of being a witch and being in this wonderful, wild, weird world of witchcraft, I have noticed people who I have seen priestesses who are truly dedicated to service to their gods and service to the public. And that's what I really feel that spirituality professionals and priests and priestesses are and ideally should be. And again, that goes back to recognizing spirituality as both a deeply personal and private thing, and also something that does have implications for the public and for the world as a whole. Because if we think of spirituality as more than just the physical, like saying a Hail Mary in Latin three times in front of our altar and then going on with our day, like it's not just that. It's not just like this is why sexuality and spirituality are both two of my biggest passions in my career, because sometimes we can tend to think of them as things that are sequestered off in the bedroom, or in church on a Sunday at 8 a.m. And they're not. They're things that are deeply intimate aspects of our lives that impact almost every other aspect of our lives, like the way that we conduct ourselves spiritually and the values and morals that we take on as spiritual people. It does impact the way that we engage as, citizens of the world. Not to like make it too ridiculous, but I hope you know what I mean. So, getting into where I'm at now, as you can see, there's so many like, oh, I am resisting these rabbit holes. Like, so want to go down all of these little tangents, all of these little roads of thought, but I'll save it. But if you do have any questions or if there's anything that you do want me to go down the rabbit hole of in a future episode, please feel free to let me know. Send me a message on Instagram or comment if you're one of the rare gems who watches this on YouTube. Let me know. I want to hear from you all. So, where I'm at now with my spirituality, I feel that I have at least attempted. I feel like Nietzsche with the attempt at a self-criticism right now. But I feel that I've at least attempted to balance that Platonic asceticism and transcendence with the more Aristotelian hedonism and not innocence, oh my gosh, well, maybe that too, but immanence and the balance of science and spirituality. That's something else that I didn't really talk about, how like I don't want to say that I got jaded from the online spirituality and witchcraft world. I definitely gained perspective from that experience. And it made me realize how there is an extent that you can take things too far. And for the few of you that are listening that know me from high school, if you remember our theory of knowledge class, the often repeated quote from that class was, to what extent? Because whenever an argument was presented or a topic for discussion or whatever, The question was always, to what extent does this influence that? To what extent, is this okay? And I think that it's important to consider that in spirituality as well, because there's a lot of opinions that I have about spirituality. And one of my main thesis statements with all of this is that I want each individual to think critically and decide for themselves what they believe. I think that, individual reflection and discernment is really important because you're not going to think exactly the same as I do, and I wouldn't want you to. Like, the point of all of the education that I do is not for any of you to cut and paste my beliefs onto yourself and just robotically repeat them. I want to hopefully, ideally, help you to decide for yourself what feels best for you and what feels sustainable for you. So for me, after being in that online spirituality world and seeing the pretty intense extents that people took their spirituality to, I realized that I wanted more of a balance of science and ethics within it. So both my parents are scientists. They are geologists and biologists. So nothing related to spirituality or sexuality whatsoever. But pursuing graduate school and getting into psychology, clinical psychology, was something that really helped me to, again, gain more perspective of like, okay, spirituality has a very important role in mental and general well-being for a lot of people. And also, it's not a one-size-fits-all fix for everyone, and it can have widely varying impacts on people. And so getting more into science has been really helpful for me in widening my perspective on spirituality and hopefully in helping me to be of service to other people and contribute positively and constructively to other people's lives, which is the ultimate goal. So at this point in my spirituality, I, like I said, I feel like I have more of a balance of that Plato-esque, like, what are my values? Like, what is my idea of spirituality? Like, the transcendent, more Catholic side of things. And also the Aristotelian, like, immanence and, spirituality and divinity is in the trees and the rocks and the nature and the people and in the air all around us. And having that balance of science and spirituality as well helped me to. Just helped me to feel more like grounded. Sometimes we need to engage in the spiritual side of life, and that is crucial for a lot of people's well-being. And there's an extent to which, that is not helpful or can actually be harmful. And scientific, research-based, evidence-based interventions can be the thing that is needed. So, something to think about. I definitely struggle. Like, I do not want it to sound like I am a finished product or that I am a perfect person because I absolutely am not. I definitely struggle, intellectually w between science and spirituality, and the influence of each in my life because it can be tough to have one foot in the research and numbers and systems and categories and spreadsheets side of the world, and one foot in the energy and vibes and intuition and all of that side of the world. It's hard for me to, as a Virgo, it's hard for me to not want to constantly critique both of them. And to also not want to constantly convince the other side of the other's benefits and drawbacks. But I'm working on it. And I think that that consistent curiosity and open-mindedness and reflection is important. I don't think that spirituality is meant to be, unless you are a dogmatic type of person and you're good with that, I don't think that spirituality is meant to be like the catechisms of, this is the only answer and this is the only question and that's it and that's all you get and you're not allowed to think anymore about it. It just doesn't resonate with me. So again, I think that it's important to recognize, well, I have a whole section. I got notes. You know, I got notes about what I learned. But just kind of to sum up like where I'm at with my spirituality now, I don't have a mindset of, oh, I can manifest anything, or like the world revolves around me and the universe is always doing everything for me. Like, I do not assume that I am that special. And I think that's okay. I think it's important to have a healthy humility. And I also think it's important to be sustainable, like mental health wise and spiritually with the ways that we think. And so I don't believe that everything can be explained by science necessarily. I think there's a limit to what science can do for us, and I think there's a limit to what spirituality can do for us. And I also think that there is no way that my humble little human brain can possibly comprehend everything out there and everything that possibly could be scientifically or spirituality. And so I think intellectual humility is a huge part of spiritual wellness and general wellness. Like, even if there is a 147th dimension, I don't know that my itty bitty human brain could possibly comprehend that. And I think that's okay. Maybe, if and when I become an angel or a spirit flying up in the heavens, then I'll be like, oh yeah, there it is, the 147th dimension. I didn't think it existed, but I guess it does. Okay, cool. So again, little rabbit hole there to just kind of illustrate my point here. So I love like the typical witch stuff that I've always loved, like the campy Love Witch movie, the eerie historical Robert Eggers witch movie, the Malleus Maleficarum and the other like original texts by the Mathers from the Salem witch trials, like talking about demons and stuff. And the old school like books by the Farrars and Buckland, like I still love all of that stuff, and it has a very special place in my heart. And I recognize both the historical and spiritual value and also the limits of each of those things. And I think that's the key. I think that if any book or movie or whatever is like law and undeniable to someone, I think we've lost a bit of humanity there if we cannot possibly reflect or reevaluate on things. And I think that ideally, spirituality is that consistent lifelong journey of self-reflection, considering the values and the morals that we want to live by, and our responsibility as individuals that do impact ourselves and our world. So, all of that leads me to what I have learned in my 10 years as a witch. So, the first thing you're probably going to vibe with as someone who's been listening to me talk for however long I've been talking, patience. So, witchcraft, spirituality, all of that, at least the way that I see it for me, I feel that it's a lifetime type of thing. Like, this is not a hat. Haha, that I put on for the month of October and then take off and put in my closet for the other 11 months. This is like a way, I'm trying to not sound dramatic here, but this is like a way of living, a way of conducting myself in private and in public. And some aspects, many aspects of this will be the long game, quote unquote. Like, there are things that I have been aware of that they will not come to fruition till like 6, 10 plus years down the line, and that's okay. Like, I've had a tarot deck before, and I remember holding it the first day that I got it, and I was like, I'm not gonna understand this till like 6 years from now. And lo and behold, 6 or so years later, like, it's the one that I love the most. It's that deck that I always read at for like parties and events, if any of you have been to my in-person events. And like, there are dreams that I've had that I'm like, okay, like, I'm not gonna come to this again. Like, I'm not gonna understand this until years later. And that's fine, you know? And there are deities that, like, I know are kind of like always over my shoulder, so to speak, but they're not deities that I interact with on a daily basis. There are some, one in particular, that is more of like an everyday, pretty consistently on my mind deity. And there's some that I know they're there in the background, but we don't have like daily in my face touch points. It's more of like, yeah, I know that that deity is a part of like my life, and they may kind of float in and out, and that's okay. So, as I'm sure many witches have told you, like, witchcraft is not a quick fix. It's not something that I say to discourage anyone, but I say it to kind of reflect like the value that it does have. Like, as a lifelong relationship with your spirituality, it's kind of like a lifelong relationship with a person. It changes and it evolves, and that can be so valuable and beautiful. And so having patience for things is really, really important. Really hard in the beginning, but again, you kind of like gain that perspective the longer that you are in this. So next thing, respect. This is something that, like, again, everyone's going to have their own different opinions, but personally, I feel like it's so important to respect your own limits, others' limits, and also respecting like the power of deities, entities, energies. Like, witchcraft is not like a spiritual ATM where like you put in a $5 bill and you get five ones or whatever. Like, I don't know if that even made sense, but it's kind of like when you go to the ocean, like, you have to respect the power of the ocean. Like, you could die. That's a really bad way to say it. I'm not saying that witchcraft is a fatal thing, but like, this is the joy of it being unedited, y'all, is you get to hear everything and all of the little metaphors that I try to make that I'm like, oof, not my finest work. But hopefully you get what I mean. Like, if you go out into nature, like, you have to respect the power of nature because it can fuck you up. And like, we are just little bitty humans, and we are capable of great and wonderful things, and we also have our own limits. And I think that's so important to remember in the spiritual world. Like, you have to respect if you're working with like any deity or any energy, that is its own autonomous thing. And we cannot just assume that, like, you know, any deity always wants the best for us, or any deity is going to protect us, or that we're just going to be okay in whatever situation. Again, kind of like the locking your doors at night. Like, it's just so important to respect those things, and also to like not assume that you are the center of the universe. Again, if you are a Levayan Satanist, you may think differently, and that's okay. Everyone can have whatever beliefs they want. But this is just my own perspective. I think that having respect for the spiritual world and your place in it is so important. Discernment is another thing that kind of is like an offshoot of that. So Not every witch on TikTok or Instagram is inherently an expert. I think that pretty much everyone can and does have something valuable to offer. Like, I hope that all of this perspective that I'm giving you is somewhat valuable to you. And also, I am not an expert in everything or really anything, because going back to that Dunning-Kruger effect, it's usually, well, sometimes the people who don't actually really know a whole lot will speak as if they are ultimate experts on something. And then the more you learn, the more you realize what you don't know, and the more humility you adopt. And almost anyone who is an expert on something will be just as aware and open about the limits of their expertise as they will about everything that they do know. So no one is 100% right 100% of the time. And most people are not 100% wrong 100% of the time either. And especially within witchcraft, like, there are no guidelines or codes of ethics or anything like that for spirituality and witchcraft. So it is so important to be careful. And I know it takes more mental and intellectual effort to be discerning and to think critically about things, but I promise you that it is worth it for your spiritual and intellectual well-being. Like, there's a lot of perspectives out there, especially on social media. And because of algorithms and stuff today, it's often the most sensational and extreme takes on things that get the most attention. So please keep that in mind, and please don't take every perspective as law. Really look into, like, who is this person? What are their credentials? Like, someone who is, an author and a scholar specific to, like, ancient Irish reconstructionist practices, that person is probably going to have more expertise and be more of an authority on ancient Irish practices than someone who read one book about Irish paganism and decided that they're an expert. So that doesn't mean that somebody has to make it their entire academic life to, have expertise on something, but that's just one example. So another thing is this idea of service. So I'm sure plenty of you have seen, like, I don't want to rag on social media too much, but I can't help it. I'm sure plenty of you have seen plenty of social media profiles that say priestess of this, priestess of that, whatnot. And that is not to say that you should immediately discount those things, but because there's no ordination process for priests or priestesses in paganism, it's important to consider, like, is that a label that they use to appeal to authority, which is a logical fallacy, or is it something that they actually actively practice in their lives? And so again, this is where it's important to, like, think critically and think to yourself, like, okay, what are the values that this person espouses? Like, what are the values that I think priestesses and spiritual professionals ideally should have as legitimate members of the spiritual community? Personally, for myself, the priestesses that I have met and interacted with that I believe are the most genuine expressions of priestesses and spiritual public servants are just that, public servants. And that does not mean that they have to dedicate themselves to lives of poverty and sacrificing themselves for the sake of spirituality. But I can see their dedication to their deity through accessible public service and that emphasis on public service and education. So again, that doesn't mean completely sacrificing yourself and living your life that way. But it also doesn't mean charging thousands of dollars just to be in their presence, and they don't have time for anyone or anything else aside from that. So again, there is a balance, but important to think about that because the reality of it is we are living in, oh God, I'm gonna sound like that guy from Seinfeld. We're living in a society where people can say and do whatever they want in the spiritual realm ultimately. And that is wonderful to have so much freedom that pretty much anyone can share their feelings and their thoughts and their experiences. And I think that's so valuable to have greater diversity and representation in the spiritual realm. And at the same time, that comes with things that we need to be cautious about. So, last couple of things, I promise. That balance of science and spirituality, I do believe, as someone with one foot in each world, that each has their role and their place. I am speaking right now from the perspective of someone who has a background in spirituality, whose life is naturally more emphatic on the science side of things right now because of where I'm at in my career. And I think that it is only natural for me to kind of fluctuate between emphasis on spirituality and emphasis on science based on where I'm at, what I'm doing. While I'm in a research meeting, I'm not necessarily going to start talking about the Morrigan. And while I'm in a ritual, I'm not necessarily going to think about the empirical evidence of meditative practices. So, again, I think it's important to consider both. And I think that that open-mindedness and intellectual humility is ultimately the best way to attempt to go about balancing each in your life. So that leads me to the last thing that I want to talk about of what I've learned in my 10 years of being a witch. The idea of change in your spiritual path. I have seen many witches get very mad when people integrate other spiritualities, particularly Christianity, into their spiritual practice if they have been mostly or entirely witches. And obviously, everyone has their own opinion, and I absolutely understand the problems that people have with Christianity. And I share a lot of those things because, again, people are the ones that practice religions, and people are imperfect at best and can be quite harmful at worst. So I understand completely the issues that people have with other spiritualities and with witchcraft. But in terms of just thinking about the spirituality in general and a change from, someone being mostly in the witchcraft realm of things and then perhaps integrating or converting to Christianity and people getting upset about that. Spirituality is, like I've said ad nauseum, a deeply personal thing. And ideally, it's a way of identifying one's morals and values. And a way of feeling connected with oneself, with others, and with the world around you. And of course, there's an extent of expressing religion or spirituality that can be harmful. I'm sure we've all seen examples of that. And at the same time, simply being Christian or simply being a witch is not inherently harmful. It's the way that someone practices that. And I think that greater tolerance and open-mindedness towards the faiths of others is the most important thing. I think that, again, just someone being Catholic or just someone being a witch, you can't really glean a lot about their character, their values, their morals, their conduct just from that label. And that's why I think, any spiritual label is somewhat a responsibility. And it's also a very deeply personal thing because there's no witch police going around saying, oh, have you done your, rituals to heal the earth today? Have you done your rituals to, help the conflicts on the other side of the world today? Have you done the cow tongue anytime within the last 30 days? No one's going around and checking in with people about this. So I think that if you are open to this, I think that asking why someone believes what they believe and what the values and morals are behind their beliefs, hopefully that can help us to feel more connected with each other, whether we are Christian, pagan, witches, Catholics, something in between, something entirely different. Because when we just put a label on someone or something, oh, they're a witch. Oh, they're a Catholic. Oh, they're a Christian, etc. There can be a lot of understandable stereotypes that come with that. And again, like being able to categorize and judge things is a survival adaptation. Like it is important for us to be able to identify a safe person versus a potential threat very quickly in order to survive. So it's natural that we have those capacities. And at the same time, in order to be like humans and citizens of the world and hopefully contribute constructively to the world, I think it's really important to, acknowledge that we inherently have biases and stereotypes, and to also go one step further in being curious and open-minded and asking, okay, like, that person is a witch, and I know the stereotypes that I have about witches, but what do they actually believe? What is the way they actually conduct themselves in the world? And what does it say about them? And, maybe someone is a witch, but they do a lot of things for environmental activism and a lot of things for their community, or they, are a service provider that gives tarot readings to help people reflect on their emotions and know themselves better and communicate better with their loved ones. And maybe someone is a Catholic and they volunteer at their local soup kitchen and they give, spiritual consultations to, couples that are struggling and helping them to connect better with each other. How different is that really? If someone is a good person, I know that's a very ambiguous term, but if someone is an individual who tries to lead a good, helpful life, who tries to have a constructive, positive impact on the world around them in their own way, does it really make them bad if they're a different religion than you? So, just something to think about. Of course, people are so different. There's what, somewhere close to 8 billion people on the planet. So there are 8 billion different ways of being in the world. But I think that hopefully having this conversation with you all today will help you to recognize like how people come to their beliefs and the morals and values and real substance of people's souls that lie behind simply the religious labels that they may have for themselves. So, thus concludes my, I don't know, maybe hour-ish long chat about how I became a witch and what I've learned from there. And like I said, I'm sure there's plenty of things that I'm going to be so mad at myself that I forgot to say after I end this little recording. But again, spirituality is an ongoing journey, and reflecting on your spirituality is also an ongoing journey and process. So, if you would like to share with me, I would love to hear Any thoughts, any feedback? I would love to hear any questions, and I would especially love to hear about your own spiritual journey. Whether you are Catholic, Christian, a witch, a pagan, something else, something in addition to that, I'd love to hear about it and how you came to that and what about that spiritual path is really meaningful for you. So, lest I go on any longer, thank you for listening, and I hope that this was helpful for you today. I'll see you next time.